Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God has been good to us once again. And if you don't think you're blessed, think of the alternative. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. This morning we are here because God is good, and because we are here to worship Him, we know that He is good. And God has blessed us to be able to come from our house to His house. And this morning, we're going to talk from a subject, filling God's house. And the scripture was read for your hearing from Luke chapter 14 and the verses number 16 through 24. We shall take our message from. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, it is once again that we have been privileged and blessed to be able to come out to serve You in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those men who have came before us, those who have set the service in order prior to this point. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, and ask You to continue to bless them that they may have the strength they need in order to continue to do the job that they have been asked to do. We pray for the leaders of this congregation as well as their family, and we pray and thank You for each and every member that's here in the audience this day. We pray and thank You for those who are visiting with us today, and we ask You, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Thy will, You would give a blessing unto those who may be sick and shut in. We have a number of people on the sick list, O Lord, and I know You already know their names. And we just pray and ask You, Father, to heal and strengthen them, if that be Your will. We pray for there may be some who are yet on the way, O Lord. We pray that You would give them a space and time that they may get here and serve Thee in spirit and in truth. And we also pray for those who have not met You, O Lord, that they may have that space and time to meet Thee before it's everlastingly too late. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all that You do for us. Thank You for continuing to bless us. And we pray and ask You to be with all of those this morning, Father, who are calling out Thy name. We pray and ask You to be with this congregation this morning as we go into the message this morning. Be with us all. Watch over and keep us. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we all say amen.
Amen.
From that particular passage in Luke chapter 14, as I said, from verses number 16 through verse number 24. And there are some things that I think that we can pull out of this to bring out to us. Now, as I've said before, there's two things that you need to know. Number one, we are trying to grow the congregation. Number two, there's a way that we can grow the congregation. And we got to get out there and spread the gospel. And there are two things I want to let you know about. As I said, I've said it before, in the word gospel or in the word God, you can't spell either one of them without first spelling go. So we've got to go in order to meet our Savior's requirements for us. We've got to try to fill His house. All of us who know God and the gospel must go and reach out to others who don't know Him. Therefore, we must go out in order to bring others in. And I know what some of us are thinking this morning. I already went out. But maybe you didn't go out far enough. Maybe you didn't go out in the right manner. Maybe you didn't go out in the right way. And you know, in order for us to reach others, we've got to reach out first. There was a certain man that's spoken of in this text today, and that represents our Lord. In verse number 16, look what verse number 16 says. And then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and invited, if you will. This lets us know that Jesus is open to all of those who will come. In the Word of God, we are told this was a great supper. For the people of this time, supper was feasting time. And what better time to speak of Jesus than in the presence of those who are enjoying a relaxing atmosphere. As believers, we must sometimes leave the comforts of home to reach out to others. You know, home is good, but sometimes we have to leave our homes to reach others. And I know what some say, well, I can do it by telephone. Well, it's not quite the same. Sometimes you need that face-to-face, and we live in a world now where technology has taken over. And I know some like to say, well, I'll just text them. Well, everybody doesn't do texting. We've got to get out there and meet the people. We've got to get out there and be face-to-face with the people. And in reading and reaching out to others, we must be willing to talk about the church of Jesus Christ. This supper that was prepared was about the Master. The gospel leaves no one excluded. Look at verse number 21, if you will. So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. In other words, reach out to everybody. Reach out to everyone. He told the servants to go out quickly. Church, we are servants of God, and we're supposed to be, at least we're supposed to be, I think. So the man said, go out and bring in everybody. The gospel is for everyone. When we stand one day in the presence of the Lord, there will be no excuses for not telling others about Jesus. Many are content to think, I got my share of the gospel. I go to the right church, and I don't need to let anybody else know. But the text says that even to go out and bring everybody in. Now, I got news for you. Everybody's not going to come. You're not going to get everybody to follow after you in bringing the gospel to them. You're not going to get everybody to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are those who ask the question, who beg to differ the question, do I really need Christ? And the answer is yes, you need Christ more than Christ needs you. So when you think about it, you've got to work and go out and work and bring others to Jesus. And this is a lifelong work. Somebody thinks that, well, if I go out and talk to two or three people, I'm done. I did all I need to do. But that's not true. So, some folk like to sit back, relax, and tell others about the gospel. But they don't tell how the gospel affects them. For me to tell someone, go over there and build me a storage shed, but not tell them how to build it, that equates to me giving empty directions. Isn't that right? If you just tell somebody, I know Jesus, but you don't tell them how you came to know Jesus, and how that Jesus will accept them if they but obey Him. That's when I just give you empty thoughts or empty visions or empty words, it's like me just not helping at all. In other words, my help ain't helping. That would be like Jesus saying, come to me, but not telling us how. But thank God He has told us how. If we are lost, it will not be because Jesus didn't want to save us. It's because we don't want to be saved, because we have been given the directions. We must become sincere. Oh, and that's a word and a half there. But a lot of folks say they're sincere, but they are not really sincere. A lot of folk like to say that, how well I know the Lord, but they don't show it. That word in verse number 23, look at verse number 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. That word compelled means to be diligent, means to become serious. It means to become sincere. And the word also means to put constraints on people, as in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus constrain his disciples to get into a ship. When church folk are trying to get others to hear the word of God, they should have a compelling attitude to try to do what they can. We should strive to allow the word to be heard by those who know not Christ. You see, when you talk to me, or I talk to you, you already know Christ, and I already know Christ. But then, when you think about it, everybody doesn't know Christ. Everybody doesn't know Christ in the pardoning of our sins. But you know, that's our job. That's our job, to let others know about Christ. There are some who may have forgotten the word. And there's a wonderful story in the Bible. And I want you to just turn over with me, if you will, over to Mark chapter 5. Go over with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 5. And starting at about verse number 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 25. And the Bible says, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years." Now think about this. Here was a woman who had an issue of blood. She was sick for 12 years. And the Bible says that this woman had did all that she could do. She had went to all of the doctors. She had spent everything that she had. She had given up the best years, some of the best years of her life perhaps. But I tell you something. Something happened in this lady's life. This lady heard about Jesus. This lady heard about Jesus because everything that she did, everywhere, every doctor she went to, I'm sure that they prescribed medication after medication for her. But she still was sick. For 12 long years, she was sick. She spent all her money but was not getting any better. Instead, the Bible says she got worse. But she heard about Jesus. She heard of Jesus. How many people have heard about Jesus, yet they refuse to come to Him? If you know Jesus, you ought to say amen this morning. You ought to say amen because you don't know if you'll get another opportunity to say amen. You ought to say amen because you accept that you know Jesus. But there are those who know not Jesus. And that's why we need to tell somebody about Jesus. If you've been sick, like this woman was sick, you want to hear about something that can help you get better. Isn't that right? And look at the verse of number 26 there. "And she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press." That means she came in to the crowd behind and touched His garment. Oh yeah, all you need is just a little bit of dose of Jesus and He can make everything all right. If you were broke and somebody told you, if you were sick and or broke and somebody told you about Jesus, you and your bills somehow got paid anyhow, doesn't that tell you something? That Jesus knows how to take care of us even when we don't know how to take care of ourselves. It was Jesus and you that called, and somebody on your behalf called on Jesus, in other words. So when you or your spouse and your kids begin to act out and don't get along, when you begin to remember the words of the Bible sometimes, and you ask yourself this question, can the Bible help me? And the answer to that question is the Bible can help anybody who will allow it to help them. The Bible will help us. Do we understand what it means to have been sick for 12 years? This woman was probably always weak and tired. Her life was probably lived awkwardly. No doubt she had taken medication upon medication, and nothing seemed to work. That is, not until she came to Jesus. She reasoned on her behalf that if she could but touch the hem of His garments, she would be made whole. How many people need to hear and come to Jesus? How many need to understand that faith in Jesus can make us whole? See, that's what made this woman whole. Watch this in as we continue in this story. Starting at verse number 32. And he looked around about to see her that who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, watch this now. Thy faith made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now I'm saying to you simply this. If you need to meet Jesus, now is a good time to meet Jesus. If you've never met him, now is the best time to meet him. When you and your spouse and your kids are at one another, and you need to, instead of joining them, you need to ask Jesus to help them. The church has the responsibility to teach the word about Jesus. And that's what we ought to be doing, teaching the word about Jesus. But we can't grow until we get serious about the Lord. We've got to get serious about the Lord. The preacher, no matter how he preaches, he must be serious about the Lord's work. The members, no matter how often they come, they must get serious about the Lord's work. The collection, no matter which way it goes, whether it goes up or down, it won't make any difference until we get serious about doing the right thing and helping others. We've got to come to Jesus and bring others to Jesus, but we've got to be there first ourselves. Not only should we become serious, but we must have a desire to grow. The Bible has taught us God's word on attendance in his house. In Luke chapter 14, and look at verse number 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled, or may be filled. We've got to get the Lord's house filled. We've got to do our best. And when we do our best, you don't have to worry about anything else. If you do your best. But I surmise that there are some who are not doing their best. And I might be accusing myself, but that's okay. I fall into that as well. The Bible has taught us God's word, and we need to go out and teach others. In Luke chapter 14, there in verse number 23, he ordered his servants to go into the highway, into the hedges. That means go everywhere and find people and tell them about Jesus. Compel them to come in that my house might be filled. We must understand that the church is the house of God, and he wants his house filled. And you know the familiar text, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Whenever the assembly is called, you ought to be there, or you ought to be here, in other words. And when the assembly is called for the purpose of worshiping God in spirit and truth, you definitely need to be here. The house should be full, and we need our best. We need to be at our best to bring others. I understand that it may be hard for some to get others to come to church. And somebody may say, well, why? Because some of us don't look, we don't walk, we don't talk, or we don't act like we know God. In some cases, it's not because of the way we used to be, but it's how we carry ourselves now. How can we tell others to read and study God's word when we don't do it ourselves? And as I always tell you, an open Bible on the coffee table doesn't mean anything. If I walk in your house and you got your Bible laying on the coffee table and it's open to Psalms 23 and I come back 3 weeks later and it's still open to that same spot, that tells me you haven't changed the pages. That tells me you haven't really been studying. That tells me I got some more work to do. Especially since when I come back 3 weeks later and we talk about the same thing and you tell me to sit down over here while I get you some coffee or something to drink, and I look, happen to notice that's it. I say to myself, that's the same place it was at last time I was here. I believe that if we let people know that God wants them to be saved, they may come to God. But I tell you this, don't feel rejected when some of them tell you they can't or they won't come. Watch the text in verse number 18 of Luke 14. Look at verse number 18 and say, all they with one consent began to make excuse. Oh yeah, you've heard them all before. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see about it. I pray to have me excused. Most of the time now, you'll get some kind of excuse for the reason why I don't come to church. I don't come to church because I bought a new car and I want to ride it for a little while. I'm not coming to church because I don't like some of the people in the church house. I don't come to church because brother or sister so-and-so thinks she is something or think he is better than me. I don't come to church because the last time I came, nobody was glad to see me. Well, because we didn't make a fuss over you, don't mean we weren't glad to see you. And not only that, you're not trying to be approved of me. You're trying to be approved of God. So when approached by the servant, today when we are as servants approach someone, many will simply use the excuse of, I don't have to come. I don't have time. Or I don't see the reason to serve God. Furthermore, you all just leave me alone. Let them go and move on, for God will handle them later. See, you can't waste time on somebody who doesn't want, somebody who you can just see that doesn't waste it. Now, I suggest to you, what you do is you leave them alone for a little while. And then you go back to them. But if they come up with those same excuses, especially when he said, I told you not to bother me no more, you just leave them alone. Shake the dust off and keep going. So when you think about it, church, I know that God wants all people to be saved. Many may come when you tell them that. The Israelites in Isaiah 45 and verse number 22, God told them, he said, look to me and be saved. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 13, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And then according to the Bible in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who will that all men to be saved to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So I know that we can all be saved if we just come to the truth. And then guess what? When we get folk to understand and hear the word of God, then and only then, maybe the house will be full. Maybe God's house can be filled. But you know something? As long as we have attitude, and I'm not accusing anybody of having an attitude, but as long as we have attitude, ain't nobody gonna come. I mean, I just put it simply stated. As long as we have attitudes that we are different than everybody else, you're not gonna get anybody to come. But God's house needs to be filled because that's what God's desire is. And look at verse number 21. So the servant came, showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the street and the lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is still room. I went out and got everybody, but there's still some room. In other words, God's house will always have room for others to come in. And the servant said, Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come that my house might may be filled. For I say unto you that none of the men that were which were bidden shall taste my supper. You've got some strong advice from the Lord, a strong warning from the Lord there. If you don't get it now, you won't get it after you leave here. Men must be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they must accept Jesus. Our job as Christians is to tell somebody about a man we know, a man who is able to save all, a man who said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest." Oh yeah, there's something about teaching or telling somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only will you be trying to fill the house, filling God's house, but you'll also be doing what the Lord's will is for us. You know, sometimes folk in the church, especially, they like to sit back. They like to just rest on their laurels. They say, "Well, I they like to rest on what they consider to be their laurels. But I tell you something, church. Unless you are doing the will of God, you don't have any laurel to rest on. And when you are told to do something in the Bible, I don't understand why some folk can't seem to understand that that's not a choice that you make. That's the word that God has given you, and that's His choice. And we need to observe His word and His choice." That's like the folks that tell you today, "Well, you go to the church of your choice." Well, how many choices are there in the New Testament? One. And that's why he wants his house filled, because he knows the right one. He knows what is the right one. So then, when he said that, "I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." And when you think about it, coming to church and bringing somebody with you is not a tall order. It's not very hard to do. And I know my time is getting past fast, man. I know that some of us leave our neighbors sometime, and our neighbors are right there on the porch when you walk out the door. Wouldn't it be easy to say, "Come on, go with me"? And the first thing they're going to tell you, "Well, I'm not dressed." Well, come as you are. Now, that means internally the way you are inside. Because you're not coming here to be judged of a dress code in particular. Now, I'll admit, we all need to look decent. I think we all need to appear to be in order. But it's more important to get your soul in order. It's more important to get yourself connected up with Jesus. It's more important to know what the will of God is for us. And then, if you bring somebody with you, when you bring somebody with you, you are putting that person in a position that they may become a member of the Lord's body. And when they become a member of the Lord's body, if they reach back and get one of their neighbors, then you see the domino effect. You see the effect that can have by you just inviting just one person. You got that person to come, and that person get another person to come, and that person gets another person to come. And before you know it, the collection will be going up. The church seats will be filling up. And the building would be cheering up. So when you think about it, if we want to fill God's house, we've got to do some leg work. Not telephone work, not computer work, not email work, not text work, but we've got to go out and meet some folks. And everybody that you meet is not going to be glad to see you. I can tell you that. First thing they're going to say, "Here come them old church folk again." And some of them are not, when you ring the bell, some of them might not even answer the door. They'll peep through the curtain and say, oh, I see he got tracks in his hand. I don't want to be bothered with him or them. But that should not deter you. For you are doing the work of the Lord by going out and inviting others to come in. And when you get others to come in, maybe they get others to come in. And it keeps going and going and going. And that's what God, that's how God's house can be filled. But you know something? The hardest part is to get started. Some of us, we are so comfortable in our ways. I'm just enjoying myself too much sitting here in front of the TV. I'm enjoying myself too much because I'm looking up stuff on the internet. I'm buying this and I'm buying that on the internet. And it just doesn't make sense for me to leave what I'm doing right now. Well, when will you have some time to come and go with me? Well, I'll let you know. Don't call me. I'll call you. Or I'll have my people get up with your people. But any kind of way you cut it, we all need to be working. We all need to go. That's first two letters of God. And the gospel, the first two letters of the gospel is to go. And we need to be out there going. And don't say, I can't do it. Say you either will or you won't do it. There's nowhere where you can't. Now, I understand if you got a handicap or some kind of sickness, you can't do it probably. But if you are able and in a willing body, you ought to be trying to get out there. And you know something? If you got a situation going on with your household, put that on the back burner and work for the Lord, and then maybe your household situation will become better. So think about those things and then ask yourself the question, what do I need to do to become a member of the Lord's body that I may work like that? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And the water is ready, and so is Brother Jackson. He'll baptize you this day. But if you've already been baptized, but you went astray, you ask the Lord to for forgiveness, and then ask come forward and ask the church to pray for you that you may be healed and that you may continue to go in the right direction. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.